Our scripture this morning from the book of Exodus, verses 1 through 5. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of God appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When God saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground."
Well, this will be a little more of a reflection than a sermon, and as a part of this reflection, I'll be sharing three poems along the way. "The Peace of the Wild Things" by Wendell Berry, "Holy Ground Barefoot" by Andrea Skevington, and "Clearing" by Martha Postlewhite. And with that, on to the reflection. Now, one of my first Sundays back from parental leave a few weeks ago, I shared a sermon which I described as being written by a concerned and fearful parent. A sermon arising from a summer spent with drought, heat waves, and forest fire smoke, and with a house full of children and feeling like there was nowhere we could go. Now, unbeknownst to me, the Sunday that I shared that sermon would turn out to be the day before the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released its big 2021 update on the state and peril of our planet, which stated that climate change is undeniably the result of human impact, that these extreme weather events will happen more and more, and that rapid, far-reaching, and unprecedented changes in all aspects of society would be needed to avert our course from an incredibly difficult and dire future. I just noticed I'm wringing my hands now, feeling the anxiety of those statements. Now, I heard from many of you after that sermon and after the release of that report the next morning. And since that time, we've seen continued heat waves in the Pacific West, forest fires in northern Minnesota, and an intense hurricane that has flooded New York subways and left hundreds of thousands of people without power in New Orleans. The climate crisis is real. It is here, and it requires our urgent attention, creativity, and energy all the more. And frankly, the scope and scale of the challenges ahead of us can feel overwhelming at times. So overwhelming that we will need more and more to find ways to cultivate spiritual and emotional practices that keep us grounded and help us avoid from sinking into a place of despair. When despair for the world grows within me, I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be. Then I go down and lie where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. There I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. I've always loved that poem of Wendell Berry. It has always brought me a sense of peace and grounding in the dark of night when I do feel despair rising within me. But friends, I will say that I am wrestling with it now in those notions of finding rest and grace and freedom. I worry that rest is not enough, that we need dramatic action. And while I want to find a way to move from a place of groundedness, I am having a hard time doing that this summer. I'm having a hard time avoiding some of those waves of despair. You know, Moses himself, he was sinking into despair at the time of our scripture reading. After living a life of luxury in Pharaoh's temple, Moses suddenly came face to face with the plight of the Hebrew people, enslaved and burdened to produce the wealth and comfort that Moses and the Egyptians had come to rely upon. This was a desperate reality that Moses had long overlooked in naivety or ignorance, though he himself was a Hebrew child adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Moses, before our scripture, panicked and killed an Egyptian overseer and then fled from Pharaoh's people once they found out what he did. His life had suddenly changed. He was now living in a constant state of fear, anxiety, and dread. Those are the antecedents that lead up to this well-known scripture story of Moses' calling, of Moses' encounter with God. And while there's a lot to unpack in Moses' life and calling, a lot of lessons that we have been exploring together throughout this time of pandemic, wilderness, and displacement, today I want to pause and recognize how Moses' big transformation moment began with the simple act of removing his sandals and finding the holy ground beneath his feet. This people had no temple, no worship place. This people built temples for others, for gods they dreaded rising in terrible power over them, having no regard for their misery. They prayed under the weight of their burdens. They cried out the unprayer of pain. And God, having no need of temples, heard as God always hears. And then God, leaning to the brokenhearted, saw as God always sees. For the very earth is holy, the ground under our feet. Take off your shoes and feel it. Feel the dry ground powder and the sharp stones, the infinite tiny beings that call the earth their home. Take off your shoes and know you are part of all of this, part of the glory that fills all things as the water fills the seas. You will be heard wherever you are. You can listen wherever you are. You are home. Friends, I am convinced more and more that one of the key driving forces behind the climate change crisis is the fact that we fail to see that the very ground beneath our feet is holy ground. We have come accustomed to living and moving and consuming in ways that fail to value the sacred interconnectedness of life. Since the time of the Industrial Revolution, we have spent decades living like Moses did in Pharaoh's temple, naive or complacent to the suffering that pays the way for our own comfort, for our own consumption. And now suddenly more and more people, countries, even corporations are waking to the reality that we all need to change, like yesterday, in order to prevent further suffering from happening. Our road ahead will be complicated and filled with many twists and turns as a global society. Just like Moses' own journey and the days and years that follow here would be incredibly complicated and at times a weary burden. But like Moses, we cannot complete all of those twists and turns in one day, nor can they even be described in one sermon. So let us notice then, here at the beginning, the first commandment of God, the first act of God that led to Moses' transformational life journey was to call Moses to take off his sandals and notice the ground beneath his feet. Now that act did not solve the crisis. That act did not pave the way forward. But what it did was ground Moses in the here and now. It grounded him in the holy. And friends, if we are to navigate all of these twists and turns ahead, for our sakes, for our children's sake, for our children's children's sake, for our planet's sake, then we will need to begin with that type of grounding. Because this is going to be very difficult. And if we move and operate from that place of fear and dread that Moses was in, or that we may find ourselves in, we're going to stumble and fall apart. Because fear is not sustainable. That's why we need this grounding in the holy. We need to begin with the ground beneath our feet and find our own little clearing that we can cultivate for peace. Do not try to save the whole world or do anything grandiose. Instead, create a clearing in the dense forest of your life and wait there patiently until the song that is your life falls into your own cupped hands so that you may recognize and greet it. Only then will you know how to give yourself to this world that is so worthy of rescue. Friends, where do we go from here? How do we find our way forward when there is so much despair, so much unknown, so much unprecedented challenges before us? It's easy to give in to those feelings and to stay in that place of despair in the dark of night. But what Moses teaches us, what Martha Postlewhite is urging in this poem, Clearing, is to begin with the ground beneath your feet, to begin with you in the very single plot of holy ground where you stand, where you live, where you work, where you commute, where you learn, wherever that may be, start there. Because by tending to our own small clearings, we both ground ourselves and then begin to build out. Like the stone that drops into the calm lake, we can send out ripples of holiness, of groundedness, reminders that the earth that we live and move and breathe with is holy and sacred in and of itself. Last week, I asked for stories about how some of you in our congregation are doing this very work, tending to the ground that is beneath your feet or around you or around your church grounds. I asked, knowing the direction of this service, but I also asked because I needed some glimpses of beauty in my life to remind me that hope is still out there, that people are paving a different way forward. I asked because my own well was getting dry, and you all responded and shared in abundance. And so I thank you for reminding me that there are many folks who are already digging into this work, even as we hear news story upon news story of all that is going wrong in the world. There are folks out there who are cultivating good and beauty and life. I heard from Laura, who planted sunflowers with her mother-in-law and daughter at their new family home. I heard about how she now enjoys a daily reminder of her family visiting last spring during this time of great separation, and how they've had a chance to observe butterflies and bees on many slow summer evenings. I heard from Mary Lou about the raspberry plants that she transplanted from her dad's yard over 30 years ago, which are still producing this day, now feeding her grandkids and his great-grandkids every summer. I heard from Connie, who finds peace in tending to two memorial gardens, one in memory of her son-in-law and one in memory of dear St. Luke friends and family right out here in our columbarium. Cultivating beauty in these spaces is how Connie honors their legacy, and, she adds, it's deeply therapeutic to have your hands in the dirt. I heard from Lori, who continues to cultivate gardens and native habitats at her rural farmhouse home. She shared photos of the deer and birds, bees and flowers that visit her throughout the year, bringing her and Gary both wonder and fulfillment. I hear regularly from Lynn about how she and Jerry stream worship from home in a room with big windows that overlook their vegetable garden. And she always seems to have a story to share with me about the blue jay that landed at just the right time, or the deer that wandered in just at that moment of silence during the prayer. I heard from Chris, who with Adele nurtures monarch butterflies from eggs to hatching and releases them every year, knowing their low rate of survival and knowing that many of their host plants here around us are mowed down or sprayed with chemicals. And so each spring they go out and collect eggs to bring home to a special habitat that they've created. And their best year, they released 188 monarchs into the wild. I heard from our faith formation team how they are building a log circle out in our own woods that many of us are working to rehabilitate and restore into a native habitat, how some of our youth programming will take place now out in a forest clearing, both for their physical safety and for their emotional well-being. I heard from David, who is now excited to be expanding the labyrinth that we built as an exploratory item this summer to see if we ourselves might find new ways of remaining grounded. I heard from many more of you, but this reflection shouldn't go on for too long. And so let me just end by saying this. The wonderful thing about each of these stories is not just the fact that each of these folks are doing their small part to transform their little patch into a place of sacred sanctuary for the natural world. It's not just that you each are combating the forces of climate change. It's that you are also sparking joy and meaning and beauty in the process. You are making visible and tangible the type of holiness remembered by Moses when he took off his sandals and found that, yes, he was indeed standing on holy ground. These stories are both a solution to the problem at hand and at the same time a balm to our weary souls, our souls that are so often bombarded with all that is falling apart in the world around us. And friends, the bad news is out there, it's real, and we do need to fundamentally change on every level. And it needs to be more than just personal changes. Yes, we need policies, we need governments and corporations. But today, I am reminded that we don't have to make these changes from a place of fear and panic. Hey, if that's what you need or what your corporation's bottom line needs to give you a kick in the pants, by all means, panic away. But for the rest of us, here we find a holy reminder that we can make these changes from a place of groundedness, of beauty, of simplicity and inspiration. We can do this today, each of us, if we but take off our sandals and truly feel and remember that the very ground beneath our feet is holy and ready to remind us of that sacred promise. And so when despair for the world grows within us, and we do wake in the night at the least sound and in fear of what our lives and our children's lives may be, then may we go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. May we each come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. May we come into the presence of still water and feel above us the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, may we rest in the grace of the world, that good, grounding grace, and find that we are free, free in this place of holy ground. Amen.